السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single blessing that He has given us. Alhamdulillah for this beautiful, magnificent, amazing gathering. I am so honored and pleased and humbled to be amongst all of you today. I am sad to admit this is my first MUNA convention. And I do apologize for delaying. This was the first time I'm able to come. And alhamdulillah, Islam unites all of us. Right before on stage, we had Dr. Altaf Hussain, even though he looks like me, but we are two different people. He dresses like me, we are two different people. And Dr. Altaf and myself and you all, we are all from slightly different places in the same Indian subcontinent. But Islam unites all of us. And even though my ancestors were from another place in the Indian subcontinent, and I have to be very careful about politics, because when I am an outsider, I have to be very careful about internal politics. So let me just say generically that I am so happy to be at MUNA this particular week, because I saw some images online that wallahi made my heart jump for joy. I saw a zalima, a taghiya, a fasiqa. I saw a tyrant flee for her life. I saw somebody whose actions were far from beautiful, even if her name means beauty, but her actions were far from beautiful. I saw somebody run for her life, and wallahi, my heart jumped for joy. My heart jumped for joy. Aaj ke aame Bangladeshi, aaj ke aame Bangladeshi, aaj ke aame Bangladeshi. And this is the sunnah of Allah. And this is the sunnah of Allah. Allah does not allow tyranny to flourish. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always takes into account the injustices of the tyrants and the evil people. The amount of blood that was shed, the amount of innocent prisoners, the amount of pious people whose lives were unjustly taken. Wallahi, for the last 10-15 years, we were crying when we saw what is happening there. But the events of this week made our hearts filled with joy. And we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see such a bright day. And we make dua for the people of the land and for the protesters on the streets. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Say alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, my talk today will be short and sweet. And it will be extracted straight from the Quran. Surah Taha, verse 42. Memorize it, and we will extract from it a five-step strategy that Allah tells the Prophet Musa alayhi salam. The Prophet Musa was chosen by Allah to go to his taghi of his time, the Fir'aun of his time, the tyrant of his time. And Allah said to him, very few phrases, اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. These are seven words. And from these seven words, Allah is telling Musa five strategies, five points, five methodologies. Do one, two, three, four, five in order to succeed. And we will from this verse extract the five strategies of Islamic activism. So please make a note of this, make a point of this, go back and study this verse and look at how Musa alayhi salam applied it in his life so that we can apply it in our lives. The verse is as follows: اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. You and your brother, go forth, go to Musa, go to Fir'aun. You and your brother, go to Fir'aun. اذهب أنت وأخوك. And go armed with my signs, بآياتي. ولا تنيا. And never give up. Never become lazy. في ذكري. Constantly do my ذكر and worship me. In this simple phrase, in this simple ayah, Allah instructs Musa alayhi salam with number one, idhab, go stand up and challenge Fir'aun. Do not be scared of Fir'aun. Do not cower in silence. Islam is not just about the private worship of Allah. We must stand up publicly and preach against tyranny and injustice. When you see a Fir'aun, you need to become a Musa. When you see tyranny, you have to stand up and preach against it. Islam tells us, whenever there is Fir'aun, you need to follow in the footsteps of Musa. You need to go to Musa Fir'aun. You need to stand up in front of Fir'aun. You need to try to stop the evil, the injustice of Fir'aun. Idhab, become active. Do not become lazy. Do not become cowards. Do not become scared. You have to do something. You have to challenge evil. Oh Muslims, our religion is a religion of activism. Our religion is a religion of service. Our religion is a religion of community. It's not just about worshipping in the masjid. It is also about bringing good in this dunya. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً. And a part and parcel of our mandate from Allah is that we must spread as much peace as we can, as much benefit as we can. We cannot allow injustice. We must stop tyranny. Idhab, be active. Don't just sit in your house. What was the first revelation of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam after Iqra came down? Ya ayyuhal muzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Oh, you who's covered up in a shawl, stand up and go outside and preach. Stand up, qum, idhab, be active. Oh Muslims, the Quran is full of activity verbs. Go, do, pray, fast, be active. Whatever you do, do something. Do not just sit and give up. Do not just sit down and be lazy. Idhab, go do something. We see the tyranny around us. We see the tyranny in our own land. We see the tyranny in America. We see the tyranny in Israel. Idhab, be active, do something. Don't just sit around. Now what can you do? Everybody has a different role to play. Some people, media, journalism, social media, other people, political lobbying, other people, education and preaching. But something, you have to do something. And Allah created all of us with different talents. Some of you shine in some fields, others shine in others. Whichever field you shine in, whatever you're able to do, do something and do not trivialize the good that you do. Wallahi, if the only thing that you can do is to help preserve the iman of the next generation, to raise a good family, to contribute to your masjid, to volunteer in the Sunday school, that is good enough because somebody has to do this job. But you must do something beyond yourself, beyond nafsi nafsi. Idhab, qum, fa'andir, go out and do something. So the first commandment that Allah says to Musa, go out and be active, engage with the broader public, do something, let yourself become visible, do not just lock yourself in your houses. Oh Muslims, we cannot afford to be selfish about the religion of Islam. The religion of Islam must be shared. The religion of Islam must be made public. And the only way to do that is to be active in our public spheres. Idhab, that's the first commandment. And we translate this as be active. Number two, anta wa akhuka, you and your brother. How many people did Fir'aun have on his side? How large were the armies of Fir'aun? How many ministers did Fir'aun have? What is the size of the elite force of Fir'aun? Marines, navy, royal guards. All of this becomes irrelevant when you stand up with your community. Even if it's just two people, you and your brother, O Musa, you and Harun, you have to get other people involved and then stand up and preach the truth. We learn from this ayah that a part of Islamic activism is to gather the Muslims together, is to help bring about a sense of community. Allah says in the Quran, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate together in good activities. So, the second commandment, we have to get other people together. Whatever your project is, whatever your good idea is, You want to start a charity. You want to build a Sunday school. You want to raise awareness about Palestine. You want to bring about a better system of government in your home country. Well then, you need people to help you. As long as you have people, quality is more important than quantity. اذهب أنت وأخوك. You and your brother, just two of you, but you're going to begin the revolution. You're going to begin preaching against Fir'aun. You're going to begin a trickle-down effect that will bring about an entire change. And so, the second commandment that we learn from this is activism at a communal level. You need people, and you need volunteers, and you need helpers, you need an organization, because all things require multiple groups to come together. And in order to do so, you will have to build bridges. You're going to have to win the approval of people. And this is the reality of any group activism. Subhanallah, in all of human history, yes, you have great leaders, but those leaders require followers. Those leaders require people behind them. Those leaders require the helpers behind them, the Ansar and Muhajirun. You need a team. You need to surround yourself with people that will help you. And so that's why when Allah tasked Musa to go to Fir'aun, Musa, the first thing he said, Ya Rab, I need my brother Harun. I need an advisor. I need a helper. And so Allah gave him Harun. We learn from this that activism requires community. Activism requires groups of people to come together so that a change can be effected. And once again, what is that change? Every one of us has a role to play. You decide, what can I contribute? Bring together like-minded people and then get focused and go, اذهب أنت وأخوك. Point number three, بآياتي. بآياتي, with my signs, with my miracles. Don't go unprepared. Don't go without a plan. Don't go without studying. Don't go without knowledge. بآياتي, you need to have the ayat of Allah. Now for Musa and Harun, the ayat were divine miracles. Well, we do not have that type of divine miracle, but we have the ayat of Allah, meaning the Quran. And the ayat of Allah, meaning the dhikr of Allah. And the ayat of Allah, meaning all of the knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ came with. We have those ayats. So before we undertake a project, before we go out and engage, we must arm ourselves with knowledge, with the Quran, with understanding what we are doing. We must be prepared academically, intellectually, physically. We cannot walk in and challenge Fir'aun without having what we need. And Musa and Harun had what they needed. So when we are going to take on our projects, when we're going to start our whatever projects they are, we need to have a preparation idea. We need to know what we are doing. We need to have an agenda. We need to have a plan. We need to prepare ourselves with any preparation necessary. And this is what Allah is telling Musa and Fir'aun. اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي. Learn the religion. Learn the Quran. Learn the seerah. Have the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before you engage. And as you engage, follow those ayat. Follow the knowledge that you have. Do not do something without knowledge. Because if you do it without knowledge, without ayat, you will end up destroying yourself. You will end up not benefiting, but rather harming. You must proceed with knowledge and ilm. You must proceed knowing what you are doing. And that's what Allah is telling Musa and Fir'aun. Go, you and your brother, with my ayat. اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي. ولا تنيا. Never give up. Never become lazy. Never throw in the towel. وَلَا تَنِيَا. Do not falter. Whatever you do, do not give up. And this phrase tells us an amazing reality. Allah will reward you, not based on the result, but based on the effort. Allah will reward you, not based upon the end, but based upon the procedure. Even if you do not see the end, as long as you tried, you are successful. As long as you don't give up, you keep on doing and doing and doing, then alhamdulillah, you are successful. How many were the Sahaba who passed away before the conquest of Mecca? How many were the Sahaba who never saw the fruits of what they had done? How many died tortured in Mecca? How many in the Battle of Badr, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of the Khandaq, how many died throughout all of those years? Are their lives in vain? No, of course not. They are just as successful as those who conquered Mecca. Allah is not asking you to see the result. Allah is asking you put in the effort. وَلَا تَنِيَا, never give up. Whatever you do, the goal is bigger than you. The project is longer than your life. Palestine has been a project of the Ummah for more than 80 years. Three generations have gone by. And Allah is telling us, never give up. وَلَا تَنِيَا, do not give up. Keep on trying, keep on striving. Try one tactic and then another and then another. The goal indeed is the liberation of the land. But whether we see it or not, as long as we put in the effort, Allah will bless us. So once you have decided your project, once you have a group of people behind the project, and you have an agenda and plan, you have vision, you have strategy, then Allah is saying, do not give up. Success might be long term. Success might be beyond your life. That's all fine. Even if you don't see success, if you tried, you are successful. Understand this point, sisters and brothers. It doesn't matter if you see success. It doesn't matter whether you're alive when Mecca is conquered or not. If you put in the effort, you put in the struggle, you tried your best, Allah will reward you as if you actually finished the project, even if you didn't finish the project. وَلَا تَنِيَا, never give up. In fact, the whole seerah demonstrates this for us. The Prophet ﷺ never gave up. He continuously strived, one issue after another. No matter what happened when the battle of Badr took place, and then Uhud, when the hijrah took place, when the incident of Taif took place, he didn't know what the next step was going to be, but he kept on trying, kept on knocking at different doors. And this is the reality of our faith and tradition. We live in very difficult time, coming very hostile to us. Islamophobia is on the rise. The far right parties are all becoming more and more popular. In Europe, as we speak, the far right is becoming the most popular in so many countries. This very week, more than 12 masajid were attacked in England. More than a dozen masajid were attacked in England. A sister had acid thrown on her simply because she wore hijab. Multiple sisters had their hijabs pulled off. This is in England, where, as you know, large percentages of the land is Muslim. Subhanallah, what is the way to respond? Allah is saying, وَلَا تَنِيَا, do not give up. Education, preaching, tolerance, showing the reality of Islam. We have to fight Islamophobia through our actions. We don't know which tactic will be successful. We don't know which political party will be the most successful. But we have to engage. We have to try. We can never give up. وَلَا تَنِيَا. This is the reality of our faith. Deen and dunya combined. Religion and spirituality combined. And then the fifth and final point. وَلَا تَنِيَا فِي ذِكْرِي. Never give up, and especially never stop doing my dhikr. Never stop worshipping me. And this least, it is last on the list, but it is definitely not least on the list. And that is the constant worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Activism must always have worship and ibadah, dhikr and dua, salah and Quran. You cannot have activism. You cannot have political engagement. You cannot have public engagement with the religion without private worship, without a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what you do, make sure you are practicing Islam in your daily life. Make sure your salah, your zakah, your siyam, your hajj, make sure your dhikr, your tahajjud, make sure your Quran and your ibadah is down solid. And that is why the first commandment given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya ayyuhal muzammil qum al-layla illa qalila, oh you who is covered up, stand the night in tahajjud, stand the night in tahajjud. The first commandment given, you had better do your prayers on time. There is no Islamic activism without Islamic worship. There is no public engagement without private ta'alluq and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must have the dhikr of Allah and the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you engage in public activism. Now this ayah mentions these 5 points here. Let us now extrapolate reality-wise. What do we do therefore in America, in Europe, across the world? As I said, first and foremost, you need to decide, What am I the most qualified to do? Where does my passion lie? What do I want to do to contribute to the ummah? What do I want to do that is beyond my job, my career, my family, my bank account? How can I benefit the ummah? That is the question you need to ask yourself. How can I benefit the ummah? And only you can answer that question, because the ummah needs benefit in many different fields. The ummah needs benefit in every single capacity. Whatever your job, your career, your family is, there are things you can contribute. Even if you have no public speaking skills, even if you are not good in engagement with the broader society, if you are visibly Muslim in your field, if you are the best scientist in your lab, the best engineer in your corporation, if you're the most honest businessman in your entire entourage of business people, and everybody knows you to be a Muslim, that is a contribution. Right there is a contribution. Your contribution doesn't have to be public speaking. It doesn't have to be something that is in the limelight. It can be behind the scenes, as long as you are contributing something to the ummah. Once you know your passion, once you know what you're interested in, number two, get the people behind you. This doesn't mean you need a large multinational corporation. It doesn't mean you have to found Muna. Muna is doing great work, but you can do also great work with or without a large corporation, with or without a non-profit, but you need a team. Sometimes that team is only your close friends. Sometimes it might even only be you and your spouse raising a children. That is a project, and that is great for the ummah. If that's the only thing you do, that is a successful project, and people need to do that. But you have to have that vision and team. So you and your team, and then make sure you know what you are doing. Bi ayati, study what Islam says about this project. If it is corporation, if it is NGO, if it is charity, if it is political activism, if it is journalism, whatever it is, find out what does the Sharia say about this aspect. What do I need to do to make it halal? What do I not need to do so I don't fall into haram? You need to learn the Sharia. Arm yourself with what Allah wants you to know. Bi ayati. If you're raising a family, know how to raise a family. What is the Islamic methodology? What does the Quran and Sunnah say about children? And by the way, it's not as if you only have one project. No. We have, all of us, simultaneous projects that we are doing. We have projects in our work, projects with our family, projects in our personal lives, projects for the broader community. We all have different projects, and for all of them, we can follow these 5 points here. So you and your workers, find out what is the Islamic solution. Become active. Never give up. Never give up. That is not a part of our trajectory, not a part of our vernacular. We will always strive to bring about positive change. We will always try one tactic after another. And if one tactic doesn't work, we'll move on to a different tactic. But we will never lose sight that we have a broader goal ahead of us. And subhanAllah, look even at the activism around us. Look even at the reality of politics in this country and in other countries. 30 years ago, 40 years ago, who could have imagined the Muslims of this land, mashallah, thriving to this level? It was not even in our wildest dreams Islam could be like this. But still, people strived. People had some vision. They laid some foundation. And based on that, mashallah, tabarakallah, here we are. Go ask the founders of Muna. When the first Muna convention happened, how many people came? And ask them, could they ever imagine a crowd where 10,000 people have gathered together for the Muna convention? Alhamdulillah. That's what you call vision. You plan and you plant the seeds, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow those seeds to come to fruition. You have to think generations ahead. Oh Muslims, the projects, not every project will be solved in your lifetime. Projects sometimes take a century or two. Projects are sometimes beyond you. Salah ad-Din Ayyubi, he came after 97 years of Aqsa being under Crusader control. 97 years. Nur ad-Din al-Zangi was the one who planted the seed. Nur ad-Din did not see the conquest of Al-Aqsa. Nuruddin did not see the freedom of Palestine, but he planted the seed, and that seed became Salah ad-Din al-Ayyubi, and Salah ad-Din liberated Aqsa. We need to think like Nuruddin al-Zangi. We need to think long-term and strategy. We cannot be so short-sighted that immediately we will find a solution. No! Gradual victory is better than no victory. Gradual change is better than no change. And change must be done gradually and organically from within. And before I move on, I need to make a blunt plea, especially to my brothers and sisters of Bangladesh. Learn from the mistakes of the Arab Spring, O people of Bangladesh. Learn from the mistakes of the Arab Spring. See what happened. Our hearts were with the protesters. Our hearts were with what the people did. We were all against the tyrants and rulers. But unfortunately, that entire region has been immersed in anarchy and chaos. We need to learn from the mistakes of what happened there. And some gradual steps and some freedoms is better than none. So be careful, be cautious, and do not attempt too much change at once, because it's going to backlash on you. Learn to speak to the people at their level and bring them slowly but surely with you. And do not become a tyrannical regime like your predecessors were, because we see what happens when the realities are changed. O Muslims, be careful of your own ranks fomenting hatred and backtracking. And subhanAllah, I know sometimes external forces are planted within us. They are not a part of us. And external forces are planted so that Islam is made to look bad. We have seen video image and footage of some minorities being harassed in Bangladesh by people who claim to be Muslim. We have to uncategorically state, it is not a part of our religion to harass innocent civilians. It is not a part of our religion to break down temples of other faith traditions. It is not a part of our religion to harass and intimidate people on the street. We all know this. And if somebody from our ranks does this, we need to stop them. And we need to come in between them and tyranny and injustice. Even if their intentions are good, their actions are bad. And as we all know, sometimes these people are not even amongst us. They have been planted so that we have to make may look bad. So be careful, O Muslims. We do not divide amongst ourselves. We are all against tyranny and injustice. We have to be united in our battle against tyranny and injustice. And then the final point, as we said, is never ever forget. Your ultimate victory is always in your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you do not get this dunya, the people of Palestine, over 50,000 of them have lost their lives. Today, 100 people died in an attack against a school. Every time we think Israel cannot stoop any lower, and it goes even lower. Every time we think the red line has been crossed, they cannot do it, and they do something even more evil. 100 people lost their lives today, subhanAllah. And yet still, these are a people Allah has chosen them. Even though 50,000 people have died, they have inspired 5, 10, 50 million people around the world. People are embracing Islam because of the sacrifices of Gaza. Around the world, Islam is now becoming something that people are interested in. The izzah of the people of Gaza has been gained by the sacrifice of the people of Gaza. Their sacrifice has brought them that izzah, which shows you have to put in some effort and you have to sacrifice in order to get that blessing and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The iman of the people of Gaza is so strong, even though their lives have been gone, their iman shines in spite of their death. And they have inspired the entire ummah. Never have I seen the ummah united as much as it has been over Gaza. Never have we seen the emotions of the people rise up because of the people of Gaza. And this shows you our strength is not in body counts. Our strength is not in physical. Our strength is in iman. Our strength is in ruh. Our strength is in taqwa. And the iman of the people of Gaza has shown around the whole globe. And this is what iman does. follow that reality and understands iman of the heart more than he blesses the strength of the body. The people of Israel, the armies of Israel, the IDF, it has more weapons, it has more evil tyranny, and yet the whole world has turned against them. Why? Because Allah has written that he and his followers will be victorious. So be on the side of victory, be on the side of taqwa, be on the side of the people of iman, and learn from this reality. O Muslims, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. We live at times where Allah has blessed us to be able to be active, to be able to preach and teach, to be able to bring about change. Allah has blessed us to be in a land. It has a lot of negatives, but it also has a lot of positives. Yes, there are negatives. Our country supports the apartheid regime of Israel. That should make us very angry, and we are angry. At the same time, our country also allows us to be active. Our country allows us to be a part of this country, allows us to influence the system. Let nobody make you feel guilty when you take your own heritage and your right. Those of us who are Americans, and I am an American citizen, those of us who have nationality, those of us who are part of the system, we must, for the sake of our Lord and for the sake of our country, be a part of this system. We must try our best to guide the system to what is to be more moral, what is to be more better, what is to be more noble. And let nobody make you feel guilty for doing that. This is our God-given right, and it is our constitutional right. We are Muslims, we are Americans. Both of those things put together means I don't want my country supporting genocide. I don't want my country supporting bombs. I don't want my country getting involved in killing children. How can I sit by and I see my country do this? I have to stand up, idhab, and go to the White House, which is embodying Fir'aun, and I have to speak out against that White House, and I have to come together with as many people as I can, and I have to gather my forces with the ayat of Allah, with the knowledge of Allah, and I have to influence the system. I might fail in my lifetime. I might not see the results, but I'm not allowed to give up. And as I do all of this, I must constantly worship Allah. I must constantly have a strong connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do so, brothers and sisters, change takes a long while. Change is slow. Change is organic. We have to be in it for the long run. It's not a short-term victory. And I say to you again, we are so happy that your tyrant is gone. But be careful, because in the Arab Spring, one tyrant left and another came in its place. We don't want that. Wallahi, we don't want that. If we don't want that, then learn from what happened there and understand some progress is better than no progress, and some victory is better than no victory. Be gentle, be easy, be tolerant, be compassionate, follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and take the people with you as you go. O Muslims, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, our religion teaches us that nationalities and borders are not as important to us as our faith are. I might be from a different background than you. My people might be from a slightly different region than yours. But what combines us is much more than what separates us. What unites us is what makes us powerful and one. إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا. We are one ummah. We are one people. We are one nation. And together, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will fight against all types of tyranny and injustice. Together with the banner of Islam, with the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will strive to make the world a better place. We will strive to minimize the effects of Fir'aun. We will strive to see justice fulfilled. We will strive to see freedom for all peoples on earth. And as we do this, we must constantly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what our religion teaches us. That is what the seerah of Musa alayhi salam teaches us. And that is what the seerah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us. O Muslims, I want to finish my talk today with a celebration of seeing the end of tyranny in the land of Bangladesh. A celebration that indicates how much we love our Lord and Creator. A celebration that indicates that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything. I want us all to join together with a loud takbir that is going to demonstrate to the world around us, we are so happy at what has happened in our land. We are celebrating for joy. Allah is greater than any tyrant. Allah is greater than any taghiyah. Allah is greater than any evil person. Allah is indeed the greatest. So let us join together and let us from the depths of our heart celebrate the praises of Allah with a loud takbir. Are you ready, brothers and sisters?
Yes.
Takbir!
Allah!
I need a takbir that the people in Bangladesh can hear. Takbir!
Allah!
Even louder, takbir!
Allah!
Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا.